The Old Testament reading is from Job 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkness counsels by words without knowledge, dressed for action like a man? I will question you, and you will make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? And who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors, when it burst out of the womb? When I made clouds its garments, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, 'Thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.'" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left hand, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, widen your hearts also." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. This, by the way, is also the text on which our meditation shall be based this morning. "On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said a few moments ago, the text upon which I'd like to meditate this morning is the gospel lesson found in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, so I won't take time to read it again. The key thought of it is the power of Jesus who said, "Peace, be still," and the waves were quiet again. My dear friends and fellow redeemed Christians, do you agree with me that doctors are a very happy type of profession because probably they, more than any other class of workers, do receive tokens of human gratitude and thanks from people whom they serve? Now, their worldly reward may not always be there yet. They may not be paid. But you know, from the eyes and lips and hearts of people whom they serve, I think they do receive more thanks than probably a lot of other professions because of the pain they have relieved or the comfort they have given to that person who is there needing help from them. However, the one thing about it all is that the doctors do not often receive these tokens until you and I, the patients, have come to a point in life where they are the only answer for us. We find that we can't face that pain or overcome what we think is something nothing but a headache or something, and we finally go to them saying, "Doctor, can you help me?" And then they have the duty and responsibility, I would call of calming the waves of science or illness and saying, "Peace, be still," to those problems that we have. Then we might come back and say, "Oh, doctor, I thank you that you were able to help me." Wow. You know, that's probably something that's hard for us as human beings to admit. But I'm sure you'll agree with me that there is plenty of truth in that fact, that it's too easy for us to think we can succeed without their help until sometimes it gets to that pretty tight situation, and then we do go and ask for that help. Well, what I'm thinking here is, I'm sure each of you will agree with me also, is that's quite a paradox to what we saw demonstrated in today's text. When the disciples, even though they saw that the waves of that sea was frightening and the boat was filling with water, they didn't turn to the Lord until actually things became very frightening. And then they came to Jesus and saying, "Teacher, have you forgotten about us? Won't you help us?" Well, we, like the disciples in this text, do not call upon our Father in heaven as quickly as we should, and we do not rely upon him at all times, I'm afraid we must admit. Let us therefore look closer at our text this morning and see what God does want us to learn from examples like this, or how he uses the forces of nature, such as that storm, to bring us to see that we must rely upon him and him alone for our survival in this world and the world of eternity. God is the power. We must rely upon him. Well, here in our text, we find Jesus and the disciples crossing the Sea of Galilee after a day when he had preached many parables, of which several of them were last Sunday's gospel lesson. Jesus was quite tired, so he laid down and fell asleep very shortly after they had entered that boat. Now, he knew in his mind that a great storm was coming, but that was not bothering him at all, for he was not worried about anything. In fact, he was still resting in peace, even when I'm sure that boat must have been going like this. Because Jesus had full knowledge about his heavenly Father and what he could do, how he controlled everything, Jesus was able to rest in peace even when tossed around. He trusted in his Father alone, knowing that it is he who has full control over everything. However, the disciples, because they did not have such trust in God, were not at content at all. When that storm came up, they did try to do their best, and I'm sure Some of them, having been fishermen as they grew up and so forth, they probably had plenty of knowledge about how to handle that boat and what to do. They were going to use their ability to do it if they possibly could. In other words, they tried to escape without even relying upon their Savior. But only when they had done all that they felt they could, and they did finally see it was either call upon Jesus or else, they came and pleaded, "Teacher, have you forgotten about us? Don't you care for us?" They saw and asked and begged for Jesus' help. Well, Jesus woke up and he looked and simply said, "Peace, be still." And the waves were calmed. And that showed that the power of the Lord is definitely there. He can do anything if he wants to for us. But when the disciples did call upon Jesus, he also scolded them, saying, "Have you forgotten about the power? Don't you have comfort in what you know about me? Aren't you trusting in me?" He tells them, and you and me, that he will control all for us, but it's because of his love he will never let us be defeated, but he will do it in his way. At his pace, I guess I could say. He's showing them that we must trust in him and not let our troubles ever overcome us, but instead let us grow in faith and trust in him. Let us be, like it said in last Sunday's parable, about that mustard seed, which is the tiniest of all, growing into a ripe harvest. That's what God wants our faith in him to do. Our trust is to become greater at all times. We must not simply trust him like that physician and call upon him when we need him the most, but we must trust in him at all times, realizing that it is God who has full control over all. Well, there are three points which we need to note, or we can note about the power of God and the test that he does use nature's power to show us things. The first of these points is that it is definitely God himself who sends storms, floods, winds, waves in this world which do trouble us today at times. God does not do this to be mean to us, but instead, he has full control over all, and he lets these things happen to help us out of his love for us. Now, he could say, "Let everything be peaceful," and this would be a world of definite peace. But it would not be a way of teaching us, because we would be walking around thinking there's nothing to fear, and that's when Satan could easily be working against us in many ways. So God tests us at times, not only on stormy days, but on calm days too. Things can happen instantly, even on the calmest of days. Like the disciples, we must come to see God in every event that happens and let those things serve as a message to bring us to see our dependence upon him. We must not try to master our troubles with our own skills. It's not wrong for us to close the windows when that wind's blowing strong and so forth, but don't think that we can overcome the storm, but instead close the windows, stay within our home in proper times, such as when those warnings are out about a tornado coming. But instead of thinking, "Okay, I've done it all, that's all needs to be worried about," instead call upon the Lord in prayer and ask him, "Lord, protect me if it is your will. Don't let this storm overcome me." We must listen very carefully to what God is saying to us in things such as that storm, flood, or tornado, what he's trying to teach us. And you know, the thing of it is, he will not let us be destroyed by it if we have any faith in him, unless it's his will for a specific reason. Perhaps he is scolding us, in fact, for a lack of trust in him. Perhaps he's trying to do just like the disciples had done to them, bring them to see, yes, look stronger toward your Lord. He is that one who watches over you. Thanks be to God that he does not simply give up on us because we don't look at him strong enough, but instead he tries to do all he can to bring us to stronger faith and to looking more toward him like we should be. God is showing us how to be prepared for what might be something even more serious that lies ahead by the things that he lets happen to us every day. I think of this as a good paradox of what I myself was thinking as the father of three sons years ago when I would let my boys fall off of the sofa, or maybe if they were trying to climb up on these steps and lost their balance, I would allow them to fall backwards, probably feeling the pain in my own butt more when they hit the floor than they did. But I was doing that so as to bring them to see, now don't you try climbing up on top of something that's so high with the idea that you could not hurt yourself. That was what I was trying to do out of love for them, to bring them to see that there is danger in life and there's ways you can be hurt. And you know that is a way to see what God does for us too. He lets us see how there are troubles and ways that we could be hurt by the way we don't look at things serious enough. But he's doing that to keep us from being those subjects which Satan can grasp so easily. He's bringing us to strengthen our faith and look at him as the answer of it all. The second point about how God helps us through these troubles is he shows us our own helplessness in the face of the troubles of this world. And in fact, he shows us how small and weak we are in this world. Just like the disciples could not overcome that storm, we can't overcome everything that we face in life. We need the strength which only God can give. And if he doesn't bring us to rely upon him, it's when we would be, as I said, in much greater danger. A good example of such a situation would be like the young boy who sees that baby bear, that little cub, and thinks, oh, I can pet it, I can take care of it and have fun. And then when the mother bear would come, he wouldn't be aware that that's when the danger would be. That's when the father must, out of his love, go to that son and say, son, leave that cub alone, because he could be the one that would bring that mother bear over here, would grasp you, and it would be over with. That might make that little boy or girl become angry to daddy at first, saying, oh, I was having fun, daddy, and I feel now you don't think I have any ability or I can do anything. But think with me now on this. Yeah, even though the child was embarrassed because he felt like daddy was saying, you're not strong enough, the child was actually saved because of the loving action of the father, and it will work out for the good. Because if it had not been for the father's action, as I said, what would have happened? Well, likewise, when our heavenly father uses the elements of this world to teach us that we are weaker than we realize, he is actually acting with great love in showing us, yes, call upon me. I'm the one who can help you. I'm the one who will protect you from great danger, but you must rely upon me and not think that you can do it yourself. And finally, in love, God also shows us his power and purpose. By his power, over all the powers of nature, such as the wind, the tornadoes, the hail, the rain, God shows us that he has power over all. By that wonderful example here in Scripture, such as our text today or any of the others like that, we are shown that the control of all does lie in God's hands. We are brought to see that it is he who has the almighty power, and we see this power being used as we see God control things in this world. The main purpose for which we are brought to see this power of God is to strengthen our own faith and trust in Him. As we are brought to see this power, we come to see that we are entirely dependent upon Him. We see God's great love for us and His care for our bodily needs as we come to realize that it is God who makes the wind blow, to make the rain fall, to make the sun shine. It is He who makes it possible for those seeds planted in the field to grow into great crops to produce food for us. It is He who makes it possible for us to have a good harvest and have something to live upon every day. He is the one who has power over those forces of nature to care for mankind. We see that we, God's children, are under His care, and we know that we will never perish if we trust in Him. Now, that does not mean that we could not die in a storm, tornado, or so forth, if it is God's will. We may even lose our crops this year in hail or flood or something like that, but we may even lose our home, as people have, I know, in this part of this state a number of years ago down in Henry, Indiana, when that tornado went through there one day, which, thanks be to the Lord, children were not hurt in the school as they could have been. These things may happen. That's true. But trusting in God, we will see that all of this will work for the good for one major reason, and that is that His love for us is so strong, and His care for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, has taken care of it all. So even if He would take us from this world or take possessions from us, it will not be the end. He has the power to keep us moving forward as He sees is best. We will realize that God does place us through these tests to show us His power and purpose, especially because we are His children in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because Jesus our Savior has taken care of it all through His own suffering and death, we know that it's eternal life that lies ahead for us if we remain faithful and keep our trust in Jesus. We know that it is only because He loves us so much that His Father teaches us through these tests and helps us build stronger faith so we'll ever be more ready to trust in Him at all times. And so, my dear friends, as we depart today, let us be confident that trusting in Jesus Christ, we can survive every type of storm we face. Let us not be worried about the storms of this world, but let us realize that God makes every wind and rain and is always in full control and will make it work for the good if we trust in Him. Let us realize that God does send some storms and troubles upon us, but it's only to bring us closer to Him and enable us to face it with more strength. And seeing our dependence upon Him, let us proceed in comfort, placing all our trust in God and showing our thanks for the great love He shows us in His loving actions. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us now proceed with the gathering of our offerings for today.